Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Lyle Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Lyle is an education service to public interest and narrator George Gordon. Now, the Lyle Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Lyle and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on drug side effects when we come back. Well, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And that's just not my opinion. It's the opinion of Jesus of Nazareth, who held the same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Now, there are 64 of these life-threatening problems described in Scripture detailing this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide agenda. The Scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not apathy and indifference. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. And to do just that, why don't you call or write, or you can email the law school and ask for those 64 life-threatening problems from the Scriptures. And let's talk about formulating a real, meaningful, intelligent plan to survive Global 2000 and these other 64 life-threatening problems called the Great Tribulation in Scripture. Just call and order the free General Law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, why don't you go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Hey, last time we were talking about this thing of drug side effects, and I started off, I said, you know, I guess we ought to take a look at sanity. My conclusion after looking at numbskull, ignorant, stupid, insane, and fool is that Americans are suffering from insanity. I don't think we're a nation of numbskulls. I don't think we're as ignorant as we think we are. I don't think we're stupid, and I don't think we're foolish. But I do think that we are suffering from national insanity. And when I closed last time, I pointed out an insane problem that we all face. Now, here's what this insanity is. We're all opposed to illegal drugs, and we have been taught and propagandized, just say no, just say no, just say no to drugs. But wait a minute. It isn't don't or just say no, you know, to drugs. It's just say no to illegal drugs. You're taught to say yes to Vioxx, yes to Plavix, yes to over-the-counter drugs, yes, yes, yes to drugs, but just no, no, no to illegal drugs. Excuse me. What's wrong with this picture? Well, I showed you. The illegal drugs only kill 6,000 people a year. The legal drugs kill 500,000 a year, 300,000 that they admit to. And you know it's double that. This is what's insane. Are you concerned about the number of people that die from drug use? I'm not, personally. I don't care if you take illegal drugs or legal drugs. I don't care if you take drugs or don't take drugs. I'm not into getting you to give up on your drugs now. My point is that if you're opposed to illegal drugs, then why in the world are you pro-legal drugs? If you're concerned about the death toll, then why aren't you concerned about the doctors and the pharmacists and the hospitals and the drug companies that are killing 83 times more people than the illegal drug dealers? You see, that's what insanity is all about. People that are insane are illogical. They're illogical. Now, not too long ago, you know, 9/11, you heard that term 9/11? Everybody knows what 9/11 is. That's the day that the alleged terrorists, crashed four airplanes into four targets. And two of these airplanes hit the trade towers, and these trade towers and these airplane crashes killed about 3,000 people, and a few people less than were killed at Pearl Harbor. Now, when Pearl Harbor was attacked and 3,000 Americans were killed, it caused World War II. It brought America into World War II. It didn't cause World War II, per se, but brought us into the war. And we got real excited about that. Real excited. And Americans got real excited, you know, after 9/11. They got real excited. In fact, President Bush said, what we need in this country is homeland security. And you spent $37 billion on homeland security to protect you from terrorists. They're protecting you from the terrorists. And everybody's in favor of that, as far as I can tell. I haven't talked to anybody that's opposed to America being protected from terrorists and attack. but it's $37 billion a year. Now, conversely, on prescription drugs and their potential side effects, I don't know of any money that's being spent on prescription drugs and their side effects. Not a dime, to my knowledge. Now, maybe there is. Maybe there's a few million dollars being spent out there, but it's not $37 billion. The agency that's supposed to protect you from drugs and drug side effects is the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, and they're not doing that. And their budget isn't $37 billion a year. I don't know what their budget is, but it isn't $37 billion. Now, let me show you how many people are dying over here. From what they admit to, 300,000 people a year die. 106,000 outside of Medicare and 195,000 inside Medicare. 301,000, which rounded off 300,000 people. Now, they're about, divided by 500. If you took a Boeing 747 and you stripped it out of all of the first class and et cetera, and you jammed in as many seats as you could get in there, you could get about 500 seats in there. The Japanese have a configuration where they can get 500 seats into a Boeing 747. Okay, get that picture now? Okay. Now take 300,000, that's how many people die every year. Six times more people than died over the entire Vietnam War. You know how excited people are today? I mean, every night on the Laren News Hour, they report how many people have died in the Iraq War. And they say, oh, the number is 2,400. 2,400 Americans have died in the Iraq War. Okay, well, get this. 300,000 Americans die every year from drug overdose or inadequate medical care that zeroes in on drugs, either too much or too little or the wrong kind or something like that. 300,000 a year. Let's just test it. Every year. In 3 years of the Iraq War, 3 years of war, you killed 2,500. Now take 300,000 boys and girls and divide that by 2,400. 125 times more people will die in the year 2006 than have died in the entire Iraq War to date. In other words, your doctor, your hospital, your old folks' home is going to kill 125 times more Americans in hospitals, clinics, and in your homes than it's going to die or has died or have died so far in Iraq, and they're going to do that every single year. It isn't just once this year and then never again. It's every single year. Now, if you are sitting here saying, I'm opposed to the Iraq War, but you're all in favor of drugs, you're insane. Anybody who's in favor of drugs and opposed to the Iraq War is out of his mind. He's not cognizant of reality. And that's, after all, the definition of insanity. Somebody who is not cognizant of reality. Someone who keeps making the same mistake over and over and over again. I'm not here to defend drugs. I'm not here to defend the Iraq War. I'm just saying that you can't have both. You know, it's like saying, well, I want to go to Flo's whorehouse and I want to get an experienced virgin whore. Boys and girls, that's insane coming out of the chute. It's an oxymoron. You know, we call those oxymorons. You can get a virgin, or you can get a whore, but you can't get a virgin whore. That's just not in the cards. It's the way the real world works. Now, people get real excited about airplane crashes. I remember a few years back, it was about 1995 or 6 or 7, long in there, there was an airliner. It was a TWA, I believe it was TWA Flight 800, and it crashed. And it was 250 people on it. No, it wasn't even 250. It was some odd number, less than 250. But, you know, for practical purposes, we'll say here's a Boeing 747 and it crashes. And people have been arguing and fighting over, was it shot down? Was it a terrorist attack? Was it this or that or something else? And they took the airplane. It crashed in the Long Island Sound. And it was a hell of an effort. I mean, they got, I think, 90% of the airplane off the bottom. It's in little pieces, you know. And they went down with divers and they got all the pieces and built a big hangar and put the airplane all back together. And they worked on it for 2 or 3 years. And they came to a conclusion. They said, hey, we think this airplane had an internal explosion in the internal fuel tank. And then, of course, that's the official report. Now, whether that's true or false, I don't know. No, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I read the evidence, you know, on both sides, and I've heard the eyewitness reports and one thing and another about missiles and one thing going up. But here's the point. When an airliner crashes, it makes headlines. Just one. I mean, it isn't, you know, 5, 10, or 15. So on 9/11, when four airliners crashed in the same day, I don't think there was 250 people on all four of those airliners. They left early in the morning, and they were only half full or not even. One airliner, I think, had 45 people on it. Another one had about 80. But let's suppose it was 500 people on those four airliners, which there wasn't. But let's suppose it was 500, like a 747. Boys and girls, don't you think that if a 747 crashed with 500 people on it, you'd hear about it, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd read about it in Reader's Digest 3 months later. You'd hear about it on the evening news. You'd hear about it on McNeil Air. You'd hear it, you know, you'd read about it in USA Today, Wall Street Journal, wouldn't you? Now, there's not very many airliners that crash that you don't hear about. All right, now let's take 300,000 people, okay? 300. I've got my famous Sharp Texas Instruments EL1197G3 right here in front of me, and I just punched in 300,000. I'm going to divide that by 500. That's 600 747s. This year, in the year 2006, 300,000 people are going to die from drugs. Legal drugs. Not illegal, just legal drugs. Last year, 300,000 people died from legal drugs. That if we had known that, we'd have 300,000 lawsuits for wrongful death. In the year 2004, doctors, druggists, hospitals, old folks' homes killed 300,000 people. In the year 2003, killed 300,000. You can go back in time. And that's the low end. That's what they admit to. It's actually double that, but they admit to 300,000. They, that is JAMA, the American Medical Association. A recent study in JAMA, J-A-M-A, examined the incidence of serious and fatal adverse drug reactions in hospital patients. And ADR is any harmful, unintended, or undesired effect of a drug. This definition does not include drug abuse, nor intentional or accidental drug overdose. Boys and girls, it's not accidental drug overdose. It doesn't include old John Belushi, you know, shooting up with some cocaine or heroin and getting too much. It doesn't include guys like that. Just the guys that are in the hospitals. The results of this study were conclusive. The rate of severe and deadly adverse drug reactions in U.S. hospitals was found to be extremely high, high enough that ADRs ranked fourth after heart disease, cancer, and stroke as a leading cause of death in the United States. Boys and girls, this is the fourth leading cause of death in the United States, behind cancer, heart attack, and stroke, the three leading deadly killers. And the reason that you take these drugs is because you've got heart attack, cancer, or stroke. I mean, the purpose for taking drugs is to alleviate the symptoms of these major diseases. Now, when you take these drugs, it becomes, the drug taking of them by itself, becomes the fourth leading cause of death in the United States. Well, boys and girls, when you have a heart attack and you're feeling real bad, it makes all the sense in the world to take drugs, doesn't it? But when the drugs kill you, then if you continue taking the drugs, doesn't that border on insanity? Well, now, just think about it now for a minute. You got a heart attack and you're feeling real bad. Doctor comes along and says, well, in order to fix that leaky heart valve or to fix that problem, we need to give you this drug, this nitroglycerin or whatever it is. He gives you the drug and the drug kills you. Well, in your case, you didn't know. But those of us that are out here and watch this happen. Now, I'm making a report, and I've got 22 articles here that I pulled off the web. This is off of the internet. This is not information that is classified as top secret, hidden away in the Defense Department or the Pentagon or in the CIA or the FBI. This is public knowledge that's sitting out here. You can just do a Google search, you know, on prescription drugs and their potential adverse side effects. Now, despite FDA attempts to incorporate various drug safety measures prior to approving prescription drugs, they often overlook potentially dangerous effects. The use of prescription drugs is often crucial. However, in order to avoid potentially harmful side effects and drug interactions, natural remedies should be incorporated whenever possible. Herbal therapies and nutritional supplements may support the relief of many health problems without the harmful effects of prescription drugs. Now, where are the references? All right, this article came from the FDA Drug Review, Post-Approval Risks, the General Accounting Office, Lazarus J. Pomerantz, BH, and prospective studies by the Journal of the American Medical Association. Hey, this is strictly mainline. There's nothing in here that's, you know, that's off the wall or came off of, you know, somebody's webpage someplace. This is the kind of stuff that is out there. Now, and it's all public, and it's right there in front of you. Now, you may say, well, I didn't know that. I was ignorant. Well, excuse me, but, you know, where have you been, partner? I watch the 6 o'clock news. Now, I saw a little piece the other day. They were asking people who this cartoon character was. Hell, I can't even remember his name now. Simpson. Bart Simpson? They said, who's Bart Simpson? Listen, one person out of every five could identify Bart Simpson as being a cartoon character on television. Now, remember, I just gave you a report here from this fellow Kirkpatrick over here. He said that 42%, that's nearly half of people, can't identify their home state on an outline map. God, I don't know, boys and girls. We know our cartoon characters, you know, but we don't know what state we live in. I tell you, kids, that's getting beyond stupidity. It's getting beyond ignorance. I mean, you know, there's ignorance and there's stupidity out there, but you know, it degenerates into insanity. And you got a whole nation here that are ignorant to a point of insane. And I thought I'd bring this to your attention because maybe you're suffering from some facet of this insanity. Now let's get back to these numbers again. Get your pen and paper out. The number of people who die every year from legal drugs is 600 jumbo jets worth dying a year. That would be the equivalent of 1,200 flight 800s crashing in 1 year. Can you believe that? Can you imagine that? Now take the 600, and that 600 flights take off and they crash. Let's divide that by 365. If you take 600 divided by 365, that's 164. Well, that's a jumbo jet crashing every other day. Or no, it's 1.64 jumbo jets crashing every day. It's 1.5 a day. Can you follow that? 600, that's more than 365. See, if there was 365 times 500, 365 times 500, it'd be 182,500, but they're killing 300,000. So it's 1.5 a day. Now just picture this. A jumbo jet crashes every day. Now, that's not very many when you stop and think about it, because there are thousands of airplane flights every day. I think it's 2,200 a day, as I recall, seeing some numbers some time back. You know, O'Hare International Airport, you know, up in Chicago, they have a flight departing or landing at O'Hare every 30 seconds. Can you believe that? Every 30 seconds. So there's thousands of these flights going on every day, and you don't hear about any airplane crashes. In fact, I think there's about 8 to 12 airplane crashes in the United States a year. Out of thousands. In fact, my boy ran off some numbers the other day. He said, in order for you to die in an airplane crash, you would have to get on an airplane and fly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 412 years for your number to come up. So if you were flying on an airplane 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for 412 years, that would be your time is up. You're going to die in an airplane crash. Now, you know as well as I do that if you have an airplane crash, the FAA goes out there and, boy, they start investigating. They pull this whole airplane out of the ocean and put it together, and it came to a conclusion. Most people don't believe the conclusion after spending all that money, but then in spite of that, at least they were trying hard, even if they lied to you. 300,000 people die every year from drugs that are administered by doctors, for crying out loud, that are put together by pharmacists, that are manufactured by drug companies like Pfizer, Merck, and GlaxoSmithKline, and others. And you people out there think that's pretty normal. What's wrong with 300,000 people a year dying? Now, you get real excited about 2,400 people dying in 3 years in Iraq. You got real excited about 58,000 people dying in Vietnam over 10 years. But you people aren't spending any money, don't even know about, couldn't care less, and you're a part and parcel with taking drugs yourself. Boys and girls, you know, to an old farm boy like me, that borders on insanity. I mean, people have to be insane to do that, don't you think? Now listen to this article here. 12 drugs and their side effects. Weakness in the drug safety system is highlighted by Consumer Reports. Millions of people may have been exposed to serious side effects by these 12 drugs. By December the 6th, 2005, tens of millions of people may have been unknowingly exposed to the rare but serious side effects of 12 relatively common prescription drug types, several used regularly by many senior citizens. Consumer Reports says in its investigative report that the risks include an increased likelihood of heart attack, stroke, cancer, or suicidal tendencies, but were undetected or underestimated when the drugs were approved by the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. These risks still may not be apparent to some people, reports Consumer Reports, since many of these drugs have been advertised directly to consumers, and only some carry a black box warning, which is the FDA's most serious label alert. The story is in the January issue of Consumer Reports. Consumer Reports investigation suggests that its list of 12 is not exhaustive. Even a perfect drug safety system might miss some of the less common adverse effects of medicines before they hit the market. But serious flaws in both the drug approval process and the monitoring of products after they reach the market compound the overall problem. Despite recent signs of improvement at the FDA, extensive reforms are needed. Almost all of the 12 drug types are used to treat common conditions that are not usually life-threatening, such as acne, eczema, and head lice. Now, let me pause here. Hang on a minute. Boys and girls, let's suppose that you've got head lice. You go to the doctor, and he says, oh, yeah, we got this prescription drug. Or you've got acne or eczema. And you go to the doctor, and you say, I've got pimples on my face. And the doctor prescribes for you a drug that kills you. I mean, you only went there because you got a couple of pimples, and now all of a sudden, you're dead from the drugs that were prescribed to you. And you say, well, oh, no, that can't happen in America. Well, boys and girls, people that can't identify the state that they're living in on a map, people that can't find the Pacific Ocean or Washington, D.C., aren't very good candidates for determining what is and what is not true, are they? And I'm just throwing this out as a little suggestion to you that how in the hell can you make a determination that acne medication isn't threatening your life or life-threatening if you can't find the Pacific Ocean? Can't name three past presidents. Can't find Washington, D.C., and you don't know how many senators your state sends to Washington. I mean, doesn't sound like to me that guy's got enough on the ball over there, you know, to find a marble in a drawer of marbles. Going on. Each of the 12 types has legitimate medical uses, especially when other treatments fail. But the potential risks are sufficiently serious that until more is known, these drugs should be prescribed only when other options have failed. They should be avoided by people whose medical conditions make them especially vulnerable to harmful reactions, or should be used only with careful monitoring for adverse reactions, said Dr. Marvin M. Lipman. He's Consumers Union's chief medical advisor. These 12 drugs include Celebrex, a pain reliever, estrogen, Premarin and others, or with progestin, Primpro and others, to treat symptoms of menopause, Accutane for severe acne, Malathion, Ovide for head lice. Then there's a word here that I won't even try to pronounce. I mean, I'm just a plumber. They also call it Depo-Provera, a contraceptive. Now, you know, you ladies are, you know, taking these contraceptives. And I guess you don't know that they're life-threatening. I guess maybe you didn't know that estrogen is a killer. Maybe. I don't know what you know or don't know. But it was in the news. They had women on these, hang on a second. They had women on these menopausal drugs, estrogen. And they had them on them for years and years. And then they monitored them, I don't know, 10, 12 years, something like that. And they found out, oh, Jesus, it's killing people. They thought it was, you know, something really great, something really good for them. Every one of these now has been determined to kill people. Hell, they're still on the market. They're still out there in the marketplace, and people are still taking them. For instance, this injection, it's Medro or Medroxy, yeah, Medroxy progesterone injections, called Depo-Provera, a contraceptive. You know, you people are still taking them. These are killing people, just like Vioxx. Vioxx is still out there, I think. I think it's still out there. If Vioxx isn't still out there, then the other drug manufacturers that are making competitive brands, you know, competitive stuff, it's still out there on the market. And you people are still taking those drugs, even though they have been recalled, they have been identified as killers. They've got black box warnings on the label that say that they've got side effects over here. I did a series of programs here not too long ago. In fact, I'm going to flip back here in my book. It's just a few weeks back on iatrogenic disease. Do you remember that? And in case you didn't hear that series of programs, I'm going to tell you when I broadcast that. Here it is. Iatrogenic disease was put on January 8th, 05. January 8th, 05 through January 14th. Oh, excuse me, I said 05, 06. Put 06 on there. It was this year. Programs number 1865 through 1871. So just go back here about 3 months, and there's a seven-part program on iatrogenic disease, which is a kissing cousin of this drug problem over here because it's doctor-induced. There's a thing called Lariam, L-A-R-I-A-M, to prevent malaria. Crestor, C-R-E-S-T-O-R, for high cholesterol. Cerevant, S-E-R-E-V-E-N-T, for asthma. Meridia, for weight loss. And then there's an SSRI, such as Zoloft and other antidepressants, such as Effexor, particularly when prescribed to young people. Tegazoid, that's Zelnorm, for irritable bowel syndrome with constipation. And topical immunosuppressants, such as Elidel and Protopic, for eczema. These 12, here's the potential risks are sufficiently serious that until more is known, these drugs should be prescribed only when other options have failed, should be avoided by people whose medical conditions make them especially vulnerable to harmful reactions, or should be used only with careful monitoring for adverse reactions. The nation's drug safety system has extensive weaknesses that put users of prescription medicines at risk, and these include a rush to approve, working under tight deadlines and with sometimes skimpy, underrepresentative data. The FDA reviews drugs at a pace that may make sound decisions difficult. Some FDA reviewers say that their bosses have pushed them to approve medications despite their reservations about safety. A powerless FDA. The agency lacks the effective power to force companies to complete studies after drug approval, or to compel doctors to report adverse reactions, or to dictate new warning labels. The agency's regulatory might, their power, also has been undercut by limited resources, dependency on drug company fees to help finance the review process, and what critics claim is a lack of will to enforce tough requirements. The risks are hidden. Some companies have withheld studies showing unexpected risks or poor efficacy. You're not spending $37 billion a year to protect the lives of 300,000 people a year who are being killed by these drugs. You're not spending any money at all. And that's why I brought to your attention the subject matter of insanity. Insanity is an inability to cope with a problem. Inability to solve a problem. For instance, Americans today are faced with an energy crisis. Hell, this energy crisis has been around since peak oil in America in 1972, 73.
Now, boys and girls, there's no energy shortage in America. I mean, there's no shortage of raw material to make oil. We have 6 trillion barrels of oil in this country. 6 trillion barrels. It's called oil shale, locked up in the western states. And it costs about $30 a barrel to extract it, and the oil companies don't want to extract it because it costs $30 a barrel, and they can poke a hole in the ground in Saudi Arabia. The oil comes out under 1,600 pounds pressure, and they got 2/3 of all the known reserves in the world sitting over there, and they want to develop those first, and they want to sell those for $60 a barrel, or 70, or 80, or 100, or $200 a barrel before they tap into the 6 trillion barrels here in the United States. Up in Canada, you Canadians have 6 trillion barrels of oil up there in Alberta, for crying out loud. There's no shortage. That's why I say I think Americans are suffering from insanity. It's an inability to solve the problem. It isn't that you lack the physical resources to solve the problem, but there are other factors that come into it, into the problem. You need to solve the problem or you're going to go bankrupt. Your country is in danger of being destroyed. I mean literally destroyed, taken over by a foreign hostile power, and the people of America taken into national captivity. That's what's coming as a result of your inability or your failure to solve that problem. The problem has been there for 35 years. You all know that there's a problem there, and yet you're unable to solve it. If I was running a business and I had that ongoing problem for 35 years and couldn't solve it, the only conclusion that you could come to is that Gordon is one incompetent or two, he's insane. One or the other. I can solve the problem. I'm not suffering from an energy problem. I'm not suffering from a drug problem. But I look around out here and I see that there's this great drug problem and great energy problem out here. I just told you what the solution was. Develop your own in Wyoming, Utah, Colorado. No shortage of oil in America. Now, there was a shortage of oil in Alberta, for instance, at $6 a barrel. But once the price of oil got over $30 a barrel, it made that tar sand up there commercially exploitable. As long as the price of oil stays at $60 a barrel, you Canadians up there can develop all that oil up there and sell it and hope you have a great time. Just make sure that the Yanks pay you for it, because they're giving you worthless paper. They're taking your valuable oil, which is a depreciable asset. I mean, once it's gone and we burn it up in our gas tanks, it's gone. Now, boys and girls in Canada, make sure that you get something of equal value. When you ship a barrel of oil down here, make sure that we ship up to you some pounds of hamburger or something that you people can use up there. I feel real bad about us Americans stealing from everybody in the world. We have a law here that says thou shalt not steal. We don't practice that. Of course, we're stealing from everybody, but I think we ought not to, and I think we ought to stop. All right, let me give you a reminder here, mid-course reminder here, that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our webpage. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archive, and it can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, history, health, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about drugs, drug side effects. All right, now let's take a look at Health Day, news for healthier living. You can get a copy of this at www.healthday.com, www.healthday.com. ADHD drugs can stunt growth. Now, we've got about 3 million children in the United States on Ritalin or some other competing drug. Now, the thing that causes this ADHD is sugar, S-U-G-A-R. No big deal. You know, we've had children for thousands of years without ADHD. Today, we have ADHD. We also have a higher sugar consumption per capita, 247 pounds a year, I think I saw the other day. Per capita, sugar. Now, sugar affects people in different ways. Some people go kind of bonkers, and they bounce off the wall and jump up and down. And other people, it just turns to alcohol, and they just kind of sit there in a drunken stupor because they feel real good after eating some chocolate bars or something like that. But In school, when you've got children bouncing off the walls and off the ceilings over there, drives the teachers to distraction, and so they need to calm them down, and so they drug them up. See, they give them these downers. Do you really think your children need to be drugged? Americans do. I mean, Americans by the millions believe that their children need these drugs. It's for their benefit, of course. Well, there's some side effects, and here's what impact is relatively slight in the offset by value of the medications the study finds. A new review of past studies on the effect that attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, known as ADHD, drugs have on children's growth concludes that the drugs do in fact suppress growth to some degree. So if you want a stunted, undernourished little runt, feed him Ritalin. Feed him Ritalin. Calms him down. Sure, it's going to stunt his growth, but then, you know, it's a small price to pay for peace and tranquility in the classroom, which we used to solve with recess. You know, children have a lot of energy. You know, I'm an old man. I don't have very much energy. I'm getting kind of lazy now in my old age, but I noticed that when I was a young fella, you know, I had a lot more energy than I have today. I think that's attributable to old age. And teachers are old folks, you know, old folks in the school system. And we move a lot slower than these little kids. You know, they're just jumping around, jumping up and down, you know, like jumping beans and having a good time. And they need to have recess. They need to have physical activities, burn off some of that energy. That's what we used to do in the old days. I guess today we've turned all these kids into couch potatoes, watching television, which is another drug, television. An article here on television. We'll take a look at that as we progress along. And what this TV does to the attention span. So these children don't have a very long attention span. Sugar combined with television shortens your attention span. And so it isn't any wonder that these children can't learn and why they're hyperactive. While the effect found was statistically significant, one of the study's authors, an instructor in neurology at Children's Hospital in Boston, said the average growth suppression for a 10-year-old boy was probably about 3/4 of an inch in height and a little more than 2 pounds in weight. So parents need to know that when children are on stimulant treatment, although they're probably the best way of treating ADHD, there is a possibility of growth restriction. And their physicians need to pay attention and monitor growth in these children. And if it falls off of what it is expected, think about lowering the dose or changing the dosing schedule. So one of the side effects of Ritalin is stunted growth in children. How much? Well, in some kids it's 3/4 of an inch, but then in others it might be 3 inches. You know, maybe in some there's no stunted growth at all. But, you know, in some it could be 2 or 3 or 4 inches. Who knows? And it's one of the side effects that comes from drugs. Now, I don't know. Maybe these mothers that are putting their children on Ritalin, maybe they're suffering from ignorance. Maybe it borders on stupidity. But this blind adherence to drugs says to me that I think that it probably has more to do with insanity than it has with stupidity or ignorance. You know, boys and girls, I've been reading articles about ADHD and SIDS. And let's take a look at SIDS, for instance. In Japan, they took a look at the sudden infant death syndrome problem. And they said, you know, we noticed that we're having about 5,000 deaths a year from this sudden infant death syndrome. And some guy got thinking about it. And he said, you know, maybe it's giving these vaccinations at a very young age. So in Japan, they stopped giving vaccinations to babies at 2 months, and they postponed it to 2 years, and the incidence of sudden infant death syndrome declined by 50%. 50%. You don't have to be real smart. Now, if you're a doctor and you're selling vaccinations, of course, you know, you've got a monetary incentive to vaccinate two-month-old children, although in America, 90% of pediatricians don't vaccinate their children. Did you know that? That's right. You take your child to the pediatrician to get him shot up with snake venom and monkey pus, but the pediatrician doesn't. 90% of pediatricians' children don't have vaccinations. Now, vaccinations in this country are 100% voluntary in 48 states, mandatory in 2 states, and with a court order, you can get off the mandatory in Mississippi and West Virginia. So they're voluntary as a matter of law in all 50 states, but most people are ignorant and don't know that. Now, that's not insanity when you don't know the law. That's just ignorance. And the reason I'm pointing this out is that parents are pretty knowledgeable about children's health, and they're real concerned about their child's health. And that's why 88% of Americans have their children vaccinated, because they believe in vaccinations. That's ignorance. That you see is just ignorance. They don't know. 12% of us avoid vaccinations, including 90% of the nation's pediatricians, because we know, because we're alerted, because we're knowledgeable to the fact that vaccinations are killers and that they're dangerous to children. And so we don't want to take that risk. Now, back in the 1940s when polio was rampant, people were doing all kinds of crazy things to protect their children from polio. They were doing all kinds of crazy things except the logical, sensible things, like feeding their children good, healthy, nutritious food so that their children would build good, healthy, strong immune systems to ward off disease. Now, that never occurred to anybody, I guess. That can be ignorance. But insanity is where you know something doesn't work, but you continue on doing it anyway because you're unable to make a determination. Now, for instance, polio, since 1972 or 3, has been eradicated in the United States. The only polio cases that occur in this country are caused by the vaccine. And we've known that for 35 years, but we shoot all of our children up with polio vaccine. Totally unnecessary, has no function whatsoever. And the only polio cases, about 75 polio cases a year that come up, aren't the wild polio variety. They're all caused by the vaccine. Now, polio is eradicated. There's no need for it, but we're all vaccinating our children. That's insanity. That's what the definition of insane is. It's when something doesn't make any sense. Let me read it to you again. Insanity. It's a state of being insane, unsoundness or derangement of mind without recognition of one's own illness. It's a mental disorder resulting in inability to manage one's affairs and perform one's social duties. And the term covers a variety of disorders. It goes on to explain that in its various forms, it could be dementia and it could be a mania, a lunacy, etc. It's an inability to come to a conclusion based upon the facts. You can't manage your affairs. You can't make logical and intelligent decisions. So when I bring this up to your attention and I say, okay, now watch this. You're real concerned about the war in Iraq, and that's probably needs to be a concern. But 2,400 deaths a year in Iraq compared to 300,000 deaths a year by iatrogenic means is insignificant by comparison. In fact, if we wanted to do the percentage, take 2,400 and divide that by 300,000, it's 0.01. It's 0.1%. Now, we're spending $37 billion a year. Oh, it's more than that. $100 billion a year on that war in Iraq. $100 billion, 37 on Homeland Security, $100 billion a year on the war in Iraq. We're not spending anything. And we're real concerned about those 2,500 guys that have been killed in 3 years, not spending anything on the 300,000 that get killed every year from these drugs over here. Now, there's something wrong with people's reasoning ability, something wrong with their capacity to grasp a problem and then deal with it and solve it. And, of course, insane people cannot deal with their problems, and that's why they go to psychiatrists. I can't deal with my problem, so I go to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist says, okay, well, you're crazy. You know, we use the term crazy. You're insane. You're mentally incompetent. You need a guardian. So sign here, and the psychiatrist becomes your guardian. It's a guardian-ward relationship, and he then prescribes certain drugs. He gives you these various drugs and says, okay, we don't know if we can cure your insanity, but we can manage it. And these people live in our society, and they're trying their best to perform their social duties in society. You know, they want to go to the polls and vote for president. They want to go to their doctor, and they want to get their drugs, and they take their drugs. I don't think it's occurred to people, has it occurred to you yet that maybe the drugs are causing your insanity? Has it occurred to us that maybe all the people who are taking all these drugs, the drugs that they're taking, are causing the mental imbalance that is causing the insanity, which is the description by definition of your inability to solve your problems? And how can you solve your energy problem if you're insane? I saw a guy the other day, he was on Now with David Brancaccio. And he was talking about the price of gasoline. Now, let's just take the price of gasoline, boys and girls, and think about it pragmatically. How many of you think the price of gasoline is too high? It just really bums you out. I don't. And this guy on Now said, no, the price of gasoline is not too high. And he started, you know, giving some examples. So I said to Dirk the other day, I said, hey, Dirk, run out and get some examples of gasoline prices. The price of gasoline in Holland is $6 a gallon. The price of gasoline in Mexico is $2.38 a gallon, and in the United States it's $2.36. Now, this is February prices. As I speak, this is May, and prices are up to $3 now. But even at $3, they're not overpriced. See, in Europe, all of the countries of Europe pay over $5. They're all paying $5 or more. That's in Europe. Those people drive cars just like we do. Now, in Mexico, people are making about $2 an hour if they're employed. And most people in the world are making $1 to $2 a day, boys and girls. Americans make $16.61 an hour. And they pay $3 a gallon for gas. Let's take that. 16.61 divided by $3 is, you get 5.54 gallons, 5.5 gallons of gas for an hour's work. You got that? You work an hour and you get 5.5 gallons of gasoline. Let's go back to 1950, when you were making $1.75 an hour, and divide that by 27.4 cents. And then you got 0.6 of a gallon of gas for an hour's work. Or excuse me, let me work that again. Yeah, I got my numbers mixed up here. I got to do this a little bit differently. And you get $1.75. Excuse me. Yeah, you get $1.75 an hour. That's what we were making back in 1950. And let's divide that by 27.4. Yeah, you get 6 gallons of gas. In 1950, and you worked an hour and you got 6 gallons of gas, and today you get $16.61 a gallon or an hour, and you get 5.5 gallons of gas. It's essentially the same today, at $3 a gallon. You following that? Now, where I lived in 1950, gasoline was always over 30 cents. The national average was 27 cents. Today they tell me that the national average is 2.94 a gallon. And so you're getting around 6 gallons of gas, 5.5, 6 gallons of gas. So gasoline is not overpriced in the United States of America. That's the bottom line. But in Holland, it's $6 a gallon. My God, boys and girls, gasoline has to double in price to equal what it is in Europe. And those people over there drive cars, don't they? Now, insanity is an inability to come to grips in a rational manner with a problem at hand. Yes, the price of gasoline is going up. It's going to go to $4 and then $5. No doubt about it. But it's not caused by the oil companies. The price of oil is $70 a barrel and represents $1.85 of the price. Refining is 60% or 60 cents of the price, and taxes are 50 cents of the price. So if the price of gasoline that we're paying, you know, nearly $2 or two-thirds of it, is the price of the oil. 60 cents is the refining, 50 cents is the tax. Think about that. And that's just where reality is located. So the oil company is making about 7% profit. I think that's a number I saw the other day, 7%, 8% profit. 7 or 8% profit's not unreasonable compared to any other business or any other industry. And yet people are just mad as hell about the oil companies. Help, the government gets 50 cents a gallon. The oil company gets about 25 cents a gallon. Government gets twice as much off of the gasoline as does the oil company, and they don't even produce a gallon. That's why I say I think Americans are suffering from insanity rather than stupidity. All right, hang on. We got to wrap it up here for today, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, here on the Law Hour, an editorial review. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We'll leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course, so until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.